When 6 million Jews were killed in the Holocaust during World War II, the international community vowed, never again. But atrocities and mass killings did not end there. Cambodia, countries in Africa, and regions in the Balkans are still reeling from their own genocides. And the world is still trying to find a way to prevent these kind of events. Not long ago, the State Department sponsored a conference to explore how governments can work with NGOs and businesses to do just that. Judith Smelzer reports.
In 1994, some 800,000 people in the African nation of Rwanda were murdered in a systematic campaign against the Tutsi ethnic group. Around 2 million people fled the country and ended up in sprawling refugee camps like this one. International humanitarian aid groups were operating in the country during the lead-up to the genocide, but they never sounded the alarm.
We had been in Rwanda for about 30 years.
Father Bill Headley is with Catholic Relief Services.
Relief and development, that's what we did. And we saw the tensions that were there, but it wasn't part of our mandate, so we really did not address that. And then the awful genocide happened, and it caused a very deep soul-searching within the agency itself.
As a result of that soul-searching, Catholic Relief Services decided to integrate what it calls peace-building efforts into its mission. Father Headley gives the example of the small loans his organization gives to support local economic projects.
You might say to yourself, well, we'll give it to this ethnic group or to that ethnic group. We might, informed by peace-building skills, say, no, the best thing to do is to get a mixed group and to give them the funding and work with some of these tensions within a small micro type of situation.
Some State Department officials hope to find a way to coordinate the department's own conflict prevention efforts with programs like this one in the private sector. The keynote speaker at the department's Atrocities Prevention Conference was the United Nations Assistant Secretary General for Peacekeeping Operations, Jane Lute. She says the public and private sector each have important roles to play.
Governments have the advantages of scale. They can do things that cost a lot of money in a very big way, especially if they involve troops, for example.
And the private sector?
It has the advantage, in my view, of intimacy. It comes to know very well people and leaders themselves in crisis, the attributes of a particular circumstance under which mass violence might be imminent.
Lute says governments are starting to develop a culture of listening to and respecting the opinions of non-governmental organizations, in part out of self-preservation.
Over the past, perhaps 100 years, but certainly the past 50 years, the challenge of governance has become so difficult that one can see how governments have turned to each other to help with their governance burden. They have developed a well-tuned ear to listen to each other. They are increasingly listening to the private sector, and in part because private sector individuals are now rotating through government in many more countries than was previously the case, and because the governments must look for fresh ways to try and deal with the problems they confront.
Last summer, tensions were running high in Liberia as the insurgency against President Charles Taylor was heating up. There were demands that the international community, and particularly the United States, should intervene. This time, the NGO voice was heard. Again, Father Bill Headley of Catholic Relief Services.
The Archbishop from Liberia, Michael Francis, came to the States and tried to make a passion plea for United States troops to come and just sort things out there in a very containing sort of way, peace-making sort of way. And worked with him to see that he saw appropriate senators, that spent some time with administration leaders, and then I went up and we spent some time with the Secretary General of the UN.
A small contingent of U.S. troops was subsequently deployed to Liberia. President Taylor resigned and went into exile, and the rebels agreed to a peace deal. Some say that deal is tenuous, but an immediate escalation of violence was averted. In addition to NGO involvement in conflict prevention, the organizers of the State Department's conference believe business also has a role to play. In recent years, there's been a growing consensus that multinational corporations have a duty to strengthen and protect the societies they profit from. This has evolved into business involvement in setting standards for fair labor, human rights, and economic accountability. Conference participant Jonas Merberg is with the Prince of Wales International Business Leaders Forum in London. He says corporations have also contributed to conflict mitigation efforts. He points to oil giant British Petroleum's involvement in Colombia.
since they started to work much more strategically with the community and government and local government, I think we've seen a stabilization around their operations. So I think that that is a good example. I think also if you look at De Beers, the big mining giant, it engaged with a number of non-governmental organizations and governments on a scheme to certify diamonds and to make sure that diamonds are mined in the right way. And I think that that has stopped funding of a number of guerrilla groups and so on in Africa.
It's just that kind of cooperation that the State Department wants to explore. But Merberg warns that while businesses recognize their self-interest in doing this kind of work, other players in the conflict prevention game must respect the corporate culture.
Governments and academics and NGOs have to remember that the private sector is very result-oriented. You can't hang around discussing too much. You have to see where it is leading. Also, it has to be relevant to the company. Don't ask a company that isn't active in Nigeria to sponsor something there.
Merberg believes that if these concerns are taken into account, businesses will be happy to do their part towards preventing conflict and atrocities. There are obstacles to public-private coordination on these issues. Some NGOs, for example, are wary of cooperating too closely with any one government for fear of losing their perception of neutrality. But many at this conference believe that pooling the resources and skills of governments, NGOs, and businesses may be the best and possibly the only way to keep sounds like these from being heard again and again. For Common Ground, I'm Judith Smelser in Washington.